forget frequently asked questions.
Common sense, common knowledge, or Google.
How about advice from a real genius? 95% of people in any profession are good enough to be qualified and licensed. 5%
go above and beyond.
They become very good at what they do, but only
0.1%.
are real geniuses. Richard Jacobs has made it his life's mission to find them for you. He hunts down and interviews geniuses in every field. Sleep science, cancer, stem cells, ketogenic diets, and more. Here come the geniuses. This is the Finding Genius Podcast
with Richard Jacobs.
Hello, this is Richard Jacobs with the Finding Genius Podcast. A returning guest, Kelsey Nightingale. I spoke to her a year or two ago about hairless cats, Sphinx cats. I have one. I have two. She has one. I didn't really know anyone that knew much about them, so that was a really good interview. In the meantime, she's taken up homesteading, and because I found her to be just really insightful and a great guest, I have her back for homesteading. So welcome back, Kelsey.
Thank you. Thanks for having me again.
Yeah, tell me, the last time we spoke, what were you doing for work? Were you like a vet tech or a veterinarian, and when? What's changed now? Why homesteading?
Yeah, so I'm a licensed vet tech, and I still do it, but just part-time now. We got very interested in homesteading, like 2019, 2020, and I started doing research, and it just kind of cannonballed, and it wasn't very long at all until we just took the plunge. We had always lived in city-type areas, not too far from any sort of convenience, and worked in the cities, and we ended up putting our house on the market and moving to a literal ghost town. There's no grocery stores, there's no gas stations. We have a population of 350 people, so it's a complete different change. But we wanted to become self-sufficient. We wanted to be able to not have to rely on stores and other things and other people and be able to provide for ourselves right from our
you literally ghosted your old life.
Basically, we shocked most of the people in our lives completely because it happened. We had been talking amongst ourselves for a while, but when it happened, when we found this piece of property and decided we were going to do it, it happened very, very quickly. So yeah, notice to the job that you're quitting, and yeah, you're going far away. We live a little over 3 hours from where we used to in where we live. When most people we know ask us where we live, and we tell them, they have no idea where it is. Even being Oregonians and living here, nobody knows where this is.
When you say, is it you and a partner? Is that who he is? Or?
Me and my husband, yes.
Oh, okay, cool. Why did you guys decide to do this? Like, I would think most people would be very scared to do it. I would be. How did you guys do this?
It is scary, definitely. But there was just this desire. It was, you know, watching, especially during 2020, watching people go crazy, watching grocery store shelves be empty. It was just a reminder of how broken the entire system is. And I didn't want to rely on any of that. I wanted, if something wild happened, I want to be able to go out my back door or just pop open my freezer and see the meat that I've harvested, or go pick my own fresh veggies and not have to go to the store and not have to rely on that system.
So are you guys totally self-sufficient, or are there certain things you still have to go into town to get? Like, where are you at right now?
There are certain things we still have to go into town and get. It's a really long and hard process to do this, at least the way we're doing it. I know other people do it differently, but let's see. We don't buy bread anymore. We don't buy milk. We don't buy eggs. We raise and process all of our own chickens, so we have that meat in the freezer. We have turkeys that we've done ourselves in the freezer. Most of our meat we're doing ourselves these days. I started gardening last spring. So we are gardening. I'm getting into canning so we can preserve a lot of things. So it is slow, but like each year we make more and more steps forward. We have a milk goat now. We have several goats, but one of them is in milk currently. So we don't buy milk from the grocery store anymore. I go out and milk a goat every morning, and that's how we get our milk. That's a newer thing for us. So it's each little step is bringing us closer and closer. I've done some research and read some articles and statistics. And on average, it takes between 5 to 7 years to really become successful when it comes to homesteading and small farming. And we are in year 3 at this point. And I'm seeing definitely big steps and positive changes, but we also still have a lot more we want to do.
So what was easy about it and what was unexpectedly hard so far?
Easy for me to an extent is the animal husbandry and care, just because of my background in vet med. And when I was younger, we did have chickens and we had goats for a period. So I was used to some livestock and I love, you know, researching and learning. So that aspect has been easy to me. But being so far, first of all, being so far away and being isolated is one of the hardest parts. There aren't a lot of other people. There isn't anyone in our personal lives that we know that does anything like this. So there aren't a ton of people to talk to about it. Luckily, the internet has been great in finding other people online and running ideas by them. And then just day to day, the lifestyle change and the workload has been rather intense. I would say it's probably like a 60-hour a week job for us.
Oh, wow.
And then on top of, then we both work other jobs. So it's hard work every single day, even when you don't feel good, when the weather is really bad, it doesn't matter. You still have to get out there. You still have animals depending on you and things to do.
Is the most difficult thing the animal husbandry or the growing?
Gardening is definitely harder than animal husbandry for me personally. It's been a big learning curve. Last year, I just kind of went for it to see what would work and what wouldn't. I realized I planted most of my things too late in the year. Like by the time all of our tomatoes were getting ready, the rains were coming. And then you have to deal with, you know, mold issues and insects and things like that. So finding the timing of the gardening where it's after the last frost date, but not too late in the year so that you have enough period of time to get things grown and harvested before the bad weather comes back. It's all a lot. And learning about soil health and compost and fertilizer and all sorts of things, that has been all new to me, whereas animals have been my life forever. So switching more from small animals to livestock wasn't as big of a shock, but I had never grown a garden prior to last year.
How was your health, you and your husband, since you've been doing this? Do you see a marked difference, or were you eating really well before?
We were not eating really well before. My husband is very thin now, and it kind of shocks people, and it's not in a bad way, and it's not like he tries to diet or anything. It's literally just eating better and working hard around the property. For myself, I have connective tissue disorder and other health issues. And I honestly think that if I hadn't made this change, there's a good chance that I would be completely disabled by now.
Wow.
Living in the city, I was just going downhill quickly. And it has a lot to do with what we eat, but as well as like getting out in the fresh air every day, not being trapped where there's a ton of pollution and other things, and just being in nature and doing things in a more natural way.
Do you feel a lot better, or were you just, again, you said you'd be far worse, but do you actually feel good? Or are you still wrestling with stuff pretty hard?
Before we continue, I've been personally funding the Finding Genius podcast for 4.5 years now, which has led to 2,700 plus interviews of clinicians, researchers, scientists, CEOs, and other amazing people who are working to advance science and improve our lives and our world. Even though this podcast gets 100,000 plus downloads a month, we need your help to reach hundreds of thousands more worldwide. Please visit findinggeniuspodcast.com and click on Support Us. We have 3 levels of membership from $10 to $49 a month, including perks such as the ability to see ahead in our interview calendar and ask questions of upcoming guests, transcripts of podcasts you're interested in, the ability to request specific topics or guests, and more. Visit findinggeniuspodcast.com and click Support Us today. Now back to the show.
I do feel better. For the first, I would say, year or so we lived out here, that wasn't necessarily the case because I think it was just such a shock to my system. And I also had some things that weren't being well controlled. So once I got that underway and then started doing more around here and with the diet change that comes with that, it's definitely helped. I'm a lot more functional than I was a year ago.
No, that's great to hear. What things do you have to do now to be fully self-sufficient? Like what are, you know, you've done it for about 3 years. Supposedly maybe there's 2 more to go. Like what do you need to learn and figure out from here in order to be totally self-sufficient?
There's still several things. Number one, which I don't know when and how it's going to happen, is we want to get solar panels for electricity instead of being on the grid, so to speak. That's a big one because there's power outages that happen and things like that that are a huge inconvenience, and the solar power would eliminate that, not to mention the electric bill. And then getting the canning and the gardening down is a big one, which I think I might have by this year. And then I think the other biggest obstacle that a lot of people don't talk about when it comes to homesteading is the financial aspect, because you've got to figure out if you want to do this full time, you have to figure out how to make some sort of income off of it. We still both work other jobs, as I mentioned, and we would love to get to the point where this is our only job. So we sell eggs and I do bread for people, but by this summer, I want to have a farm stand up and be selling products from here and just start slowly growing that income revenue. Because it's expensive. A lot of people don't talk about it, but to be buying seeds and the animal feed is crazy expensive. It's inflated just like everything else at this point. So to be doing what we're doing is not an inexpensive venture, but also I know that if we keep going, if we persevere, then eventually we can be producing meat for other people, as well as the eggs and the bread and canned goods and preserves and everything that we're doing for ourselves, then we can start offering for other people who don't want to live this lifestyle but want fresh from the farm goods.
How much does it, I don't know if you've estimated, how much does it cost you to feed yourselves versus just going to like the grocery store or something and buying all your stuff?
With grocery store prices these days, it is a little bit less expensive to do it this way, especially when it comes to the produce for gardening and things. That is significantly less. For meat, depending on the animal, some of it comes out to about the same. Some of it's a little more expensive than what you would get in the grocery store, and some of it does save money. Like the pigs that we raise, that pork ends up being, if we take into consideration all the feed costs, it's going to cost us more than what we would buy in the grocery store. But for me, I would much rather have an animal that I've raised and loved and taken great, great care of that has never known a bad day in its life. I would much rather consume that meat than anything commercially produced. So there's a give and take. And overall, I do think grocery costs, especially now with the bread and the milk and the eggs and everything, we are saving a little bit on that, but not a considerable amount.
So the income is going to come from selling the meat or selling the produce? Like, what do you envision it working best? Microgreens or, again, vegetables or meat? What's the best for you?
I'm hoping eventually probably the meat, since we do the most with the livestock. I will do some produce and canned goods too. But like this year alone, I'm currently raising broiler, Cornish cross broiler meat birds for other people. So by doing that, we can grow some for ourselves at the same time as I'm growing them for other people. And when I can, when I subtract the cost of the birds and all of the feed it takes to raise them to finishing weight after I sell them, I do have a profit for a batch of, you know, about 30 birds that I'm doing right now. You get a profit of $300 or $400. And I know people that grow that to the point where they're raising, you know, 100 birds two or three times a year. And the more you raise it once, the more profit you make. So there's a lot of little things like that that we can be doing and we can do kind of year round that would definitely be bringing in income.
Yeah, I know a French guy. I visited his farm and he does ducks, duck breast and foie gras, and he has turkeys, and he does some of the broiler hens and all that. And he deals more like around the holidays. So he raises a whole bunch of them. And for Thanksgiving and Christmas, everyone buys up all his stuff. So he doesn't do it year round. Well, I guess, you know, the preparation of the work is almost year round, but it's like one or two big selling events. So do you think that would be best for you, or some kind of year round, people are always buying a little bit of meat slowly would be better?
I think it depends on the market in my area. And that's what I've been struggling to figure out. It's such a tiny community that then it goes, you know, I have to try to network and advertise farther out into the communities around us even, so that more people can figure out who we are and where we're at. And then I can get kind of a better grip on things, so to speak, which all just takes time and it takes trial and error. I think the meat bird thing is a wise decision and is going to work out. And there already was more of a demand for it this go around than what I expected or what I was willing to do. But you never really know until you do it. And that's how it is with a lot of the things we're finding out, is even with livestock, you can have a certain type of livestock and it can end up not working out at all. It just isn't good for you. So you have to be willing to say, all right, this isn't great for us, this isn't a good move for our homestead, and kind of pivot and switch paces until you find out what's going to work best.
Are there going to be any items that you just can't make on your own? Do you think you'll be able to be 100% self-sufficient, or there's always going to be a few things that you have to get?
I'm hoping eventually we will be 100%. I don't know when that will be. I can see for the foreseeable future, I think there will at least be some things. But we went from weekly trips to the grocery store to every 2 weeks to now every 3 to 4 weeks. So seeing those changes are super positive, but it's going to take quite a while for us in particular. A lot of people that do this have a bunch of kids and they're helping and whatnot. It's just the two of us, and for a lot of things, that makes projects take a lot longer.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. So are there homesteading communities that you plug into online so you can trade ideas and stuff?
Yeah, there absolutely are. There's one specifically called Abundance Plus that it's just homesteaders, and they have a ton of educational videos and things. So that's been really helpful, as well as like a community page where you can ask questions and talk to people. And then the least likely place that I ever thought, actually, TikTok has a ton of homesteaders and a ton of really great homesteaders sharing really wonderful information and people that are super supportive. So I've found my own little community on there. And then YouTube has always been a big one too. If I need to figure something out, I'm a very visual person. So watching a video is going to be a lot easier for me to figure something out than reading a book on it.
Okay. Well, very good. Do you have a website yet where you're selling products, or is it just all like local farm stands? Or, you know, how can people find out more about what you're doing and, you know, keep tabs on your journey and everything?
We don't have a website at this time. I'm hoping sometime within the next year, especially once I get the farm stand up and running. We do have a Facebook page, which is Nightingale Farmstead, as well as we're on the other social media platforms too, like Instagram and TikTok, all under Nightingale Farmstead.
Okay. And then last question, do you sell locally to other folks that are in these remote areas like you? Or, you know, what do the other people that live in your community do? Do they all homestead, or do they drive a long way to get supplies?
Everybody drives a long way to get supplies. I still haven't met anyone else, even out here within our local community, that is doing what we're doing. So it's interesting to come out here to such a remote area. Most of our community is elderly. We're some of, I think, the youngest in our town. So it's been interesting making connections and kind of learning just the community and how everyone is. There is a tiny little local Grange Hall that I'm going to try to advertise at, because I would love to do the farm stand and have it be successful. And I think getting connected with even more of our local community is going to be the only way to do that.
Yeah, there's 300 something people. I definitely, you know, they don't have the draw of hours. I'm sure that they're going to want to buy from you. That would be good if you can get in touch with them and build that list.
Yeah, absolutely. Apparently we have, you know, all of our quote neighbors, which are not close, but people that live on the same road as us, and we've met them. They're all lovely people, and I know that some of them would be interested, but there's so much more of this community that absolutely I want to connect with.
Yeah. Oh, excellent. Well, very good, Kelsey. Well, thank you so much for coming back on the podcast and talking about all the challenges, things that you're working on. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you so much for having me.
If you like this podcast, please click the link in the description to subscribe and review us on iTunes.
You've been listening to the Finding Genius Podcast with Richard Jacobs. If you like what you hear, be sure to review and subscribe to the Finding Genius Podcast on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts. And want to be smarter than everybody else? Become a premium member at FindingGeniusPodcast.com. This podcast is for information only. No advice of any kind is being given. Any action you take or don't take as a result of listening is your sole responsibility. Consult professionals when advice is needed.